Missouri is famous for its pecans and walnuts. But did you know that Kansans from around the world have been collecting chestnuts on a chestnut orchard right outside of Lawrence? I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we'll explore the nuts among us. Not just in the fields, but in the local shops and restaurants, too. Is there a brittle you love or a peanut sauce that rocks your world? What about a walnut pesto or a tasty pecan pie? Call in and tell our food critics about it. Plus, a soccer player moved to Kansas City to play for the team then known as the Wizards. We'll look at life in Kansas City through his eyes. Stay tuned. Sound of chestnuts falling into a bucket at a chestnut orchard outside of Lawrence. Chestnut season ended just last week, and although chestnuts may not be well known in the United States, the folks at this orchard say they do a brisk business, and not just at Christmas time. I'm Gina Kaufman. On today's show, in honor of the seasonal nut fall, we're looking at some typical and atypical uses of nuts in the Kansas City area. To start, we sent Matt Hodep to check out that chestnut harvest.
Prickly burrs and husks lay empty throughout Chestnut Charlie's orchard. Deborah Milks, the co-owner, explains the annual harvest party as we search for her husband, Chestnut Charlie.
Oh, we have so much fun. What we do, we have about 40 to 50 pickers that come out over the season, and we'll give everybody a little bag of chestnuts and say, go try a chestnut recipe. And then we'll have a buffet that usually goes anywhere from chestnut hummus all the way to chestnut ice cream and everything in between.
That bell is the way Deborah calls Chestnut Charlie in from the field. He appears from a small barn wearing a brimmed hat and overalls, smiling in a farmer's flannel shirt.
There he is.
Charlie Novogradic.
Chestnut Charlie?
It's our trade name, yeah. It's easier to remember than Novogradic.
Yeah. So what got you started in chestnuts?
Well, we had the land, and we wanted to do an organic project, and we believe in tree crops, and chestnuts was a healthy food. So we decided, since it was underrepresented, there was a good demand still for chestnuts, we'd give it a try and see if they'd grow here. And they have grown here, so now we're in business. Now we're collecting the nuts.
The blight of American chestnut trees in the 50s diminished American interest. But Deborah says there's still a big appetite in international communities.
People who come from the old countries, they know them, they love them, and it is just, the enthusiasm is just amazing. It's really, really fun to compare notes on how different people cook them and use them, and they're, some of them have whole ceremonies all around chestnuts. It's just amazing.
And what are some common chestnut recipes that you hear of?
Well, a lot of people do, in America at least, they stuff their turkey at Thanksgiving with chestnuts. And we have some Italians that have to do a dressing that involves a sausage and chestnuts. And they do that every year, and they're very happy to find good quality chestnuts at our orchard rather than get something that's been on the store shelves for a long time. The other thing that we've been doing, a chestnut soup, a bisque, and it is really a very tasty thing. And marron glacé is the most famous chestnut dessert, and it's a candied chestnut. Usually that involves weeks of soaking in a sugar and a flavored water. And unfortunately, we can't do that, but that's a very high-priced delicacy in France and Italy.
The seasonal employees at Chestnut Charlie's are an international hodgepodge, with pickers who originate from Croatia and France. One of these harvesters, Muriel Green, says it's hard to explain why she loves chestnuts.
It's just a taste all its own. I mean, it's different from anything else. They're healthy. They taste good. They're sweet, you know. But you don't have to make only sweet dishes with them. You can make savory dishes with them. Wonderful in a stuffed turkey. To stuff the turkey. In France, we do that a lot. We stuff the turkey with the chestnuts. It's also the way I grew up, I guess. You know, it's taking me back to when I was growing up. We picked chestnuts, we ate chestnuts.
After the harvest, chestnuts are stored in coolers at exactly 32 degrees with high humidity. After that, they are shipped all across the United States.
Yes, we have customers all over the country.
Really?
A lot of them on the East Coast. You get a lot of Italians and people that are real chestnut lovers in that area. And so, yeah, we send them everywhere, all the way from Juneau, Alaska, down to Key West, Florida. I had one this year.
From right here in
from
Lawrence?
Right here in Lawrence, Kansas. That's right.
That story was brought to us by Matt Hodapp. I'm Gina Kaufman. Chestnuts sound great in theory, but knowing how to work with them in the kitchen, in reality, is a whole different story. There's a lot that goes on with nuts that stretches the imagination, particularly in the world of vegan cuisine. It seems like there's nothing a cashew can't become. Cheese, ice cream. Have you ever wondered how they do that? Here in the studio to explain how nuts work is Natasha Bailey. She's in her final weeks of culinary school, and she's a pastry chef at Aixois. Hi, Natasha. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
So you actually have a background in raw and vegan food. Is that right?
I do.
So can you explain a little bit about the special role that nuts play in vegan fare?
Nuts in vegan fare take over the place of meat. The place of protein.
So when I think about cooking, there are the people who cook from recipes, and there are the people who kind of operate more from an intuitive place of understanding how the ingredients work and play with other ingredients. From that understanding the ingredient standpoint, what can you tell us about nuts and working with them?
They are very versatile, and my favorite thing about nuts is that once they're soaked, you can pretty much, they take on any shape. So you can do, like you said, ice cream or pizza, or I like to use walnuts as a walnut meat substitute for sausage or ground beef.
When you talk about soaking them, what exactly is that accomplishing?
I soak them in spring water. It softens them. It also gives a chance for any of the, it causes the nut to break down, which is what you want. You want it to soften a little bit.
And once that happens, can you work with them sort of like as though it's like a pastry dough or like something that you can mold?
Yes. At that point, it's very pliable. You can either blend it or you can toast them, and then they have a, the graininess is gone.
When I said before that there's nothing a cashew can't become, I really kind of mean that. I mean, I've been astounded. What are your thoughts? Is there a limit to what you can emulate using nuts as an ingredient?
I would say no. You can do a lot. You can take the good thing about nuts is you can take someone who can't eat a normal meal, what we consider normal, chicken or steak, and you can use those nuts to add flavor. They pick up any flavor that you want with fresh herbs, dried herbs. It doesn't matter.
So you work at Aixois, which is a French restaurant. French food is probably, generally speaking, as far from vegan as it gets.
Yes.
So obviously you're not limited by the vegan diet yourself and what you can prepare. So talk to me sort of generally about, well, let's start with chestnuts, actually, because we talked about chestnuts in Kansas. Have you ever made something out of chestnuts?
Last year, there was an abundance at the Brookside Farmers Market, and I got a lot of them, and I soaked them, and I opened them, and I roasted them, and they were amazing, but they're very tricky. They're not like your average nut. You have to do research before you can really just get in there and mess around with them.
Yeah, I bought some chestnuts on a whim once and had no idea what to do and actually just ended up wasting them, I'm embarrassed to say. So do your research if you're getting chestnuts. That's your advice?
Definitely.
And we did hear about chestnuts in Kansas, but Missouri is kind of famous for its pecans and walnuts.
Yes.
What are some of the things you can do with those nuts?
I love pecans. I love to candy pecans. I add them into salads, soups. They just add that texture that you need. And also when you toast a pecan and salt it, it's just so savory. It's comforting in the wintertime.
Can you, and you are going to provide some recipes today, and I suspect maybe pecans play into one of those?
Yes, one of the recipes is a candied pecan recipe.
Can you share that with us now?
I can. It's really easy, and it makes 8 servings. You take 2.5 cups of pecan halves, 5 tablespoons of butter, I use unsalted, and 5 tablespoons of granulated sugar. You melt the butter over medium-high heat, add the pecans, and make sure you toss them so that everything gets coated in butter.
Do you have to toss consistently throughout the process?
Yes. I say keep them tossed because you want to make sure that the butter coats the whole pecan half. And then I add sugar to the pan. You want to stop tossing when you add in the sugar, though, because you don't want the sugar to be splashing all over because it'll be really hot.
Hmm.
You want to let the sugar kind of sit and warm and caramelize over the pecans.
Yum.
After it starts caramelizing, then toss it through again. Spread your pecans out on parchment paper and let them cool down. If you feel like they're still a little too wet, you can put them in the oven at 350 degrees for about 5 to 10 minutes.
And you were recommending doing this with sugar?
Yes.
What other, could you do it with other spices as well, adding things
yes.
to it?
Yes, you could do nutmeg, allspice, cinnamon, or you can make them savory and you can do salt and pepper with a little cumin and cayenne pepper. You can add in a little bacon. You can do whatever you want. They're very versatile.
Do you have another nut recipe you'd like to share with us today?
Yeah, I was thinking that a vegan almond gravy is very nice for this time of year because Thanksgiving is fast approaching and you want a substitute for the gravy at the dinner table.
For those people coming to your table who might not be, it's not just the turkey they wouldn't be eating, it's also some of the dressings.
Yes, definitely. And you still want them to be able to enjoy everything, you know, because what is Thanksgiving with no gravy?
I would agree with that question. So share that recipe with us.
It's an almond gravy. You take a half cup of almond butter, a half cup of, I use almond milk, but if I'm out of almond milk, I'll use hemp milk. And then I do 4 tablespoons of flour. You can use any kind of flour, but I like garbanzo bean. 2 teaspoons of tamari, 2 1/4 teaspoons of onion. Onion powder is really nice because it gives the flavor without messing up the consistency. And then 3/4 teaspoon of garlic powder. I also add in 1/4 of a teaspoon of rubbed sage because sage, it gives you what you want in a gravy. It adds that little savoriness to it.
I love sage.
Love sage. And then I do 1.5 to 2 cups of water and salt and pepper.
Yum.
And the process is really easy. You just mix the almond butter, the almond milk, flour, tamari, and your spices in a pan. Bring to a medium-high heat while adding the water gradually. So you want to be adding the water and whisking at the same time. You want to get that to a simmer for about 10 minutes. Then add your salt and pepper and enjoy.
That sounds really good. I think getting the consistency of gravy right is very tricky, but practice
very
makes
tricky.
Perfect, I
yes.
guess. Nuts are in so many dishes, but they aren't always the star of the show. What are some common menu items with nuts in them that people might not think about as nut dishes?
You know, when I started thinking about nuts initially, the first thought was pad thai, because it's not the main part of the dish, but those little peanuts sprinkled on top add so much.
And it wouldn't be pad thai without it.
It would not be without it.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, the food critics will be in session taking your calls about your favorite nut delicacies. Call 816-235-2888 to share a recommendation. That number again is 816-235-2888. We'll be right back. Central Standard is back. I'm Gina Kaufman, and it's time for the Food Critics. Critics, I'm going to let you introduce yourselves. Let's start with a new voice here at the table.
Hi, I'm Jen Chen with The Pitch. I write for the food section of The Pitch, and I also write The Pitch's food newsletter.
And a familiar voice.
Charles Ferruza with The Pitch and The Pitch's website.
And
Pitch.com. I just want to throw that out. Pitch.com.
And another familiar voice.
I'm Mary Block. I write the blog Around the Block at AroundTheBlockKC.com, and I write the food truck guide for the Kansas City Star.
Natasha Bailey, pastry chef at XWOT, is still with us as well. She can answer your questions about working with nuts in the kitchen. Welcome back, Natasha.
Thank you.
You know, you can interpret that two ways.
Let's not talk about it, Charles. Call 816-235-2888 to join the conversation about nuts. We are talking brittle pie, peanuts and cracker jack, Thai peanut sauces, almond encrusted trout, and more obscure dishes like that chestnut bisque we heard about. Don't be afraid to surprise us. The number again is 816-235-2888. So, Charles, let's start with you. What are some of your favorite foods incorporating nuts, and where do you go to get them?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say that I have such vulgar taste that I still like things like cashew chicken, kung pao beef, you know, all those things that, you know, are probably not all that good for me. But, you know, the nuts are not a dominant note. They're just a crunchy touch. I like that.
A crunchy touch. I like that, too. So that's kind of a comfort food thing in a way. Who else has some favorites to share, Mary?
I love mole, and moles are all made with sesame seeds and almonds and things like that, and they're different ones. There's green and red and all that, but there are about 37 ingredients in mole, and nuts and seeds are
What are the predominant nuts in moles?
The almonds are.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
now, I heard
and
almonds.
There are raisins and chocolate.
I'll throw this out for maybe Natasha, but I heard almonds are really, really expensive right now.
Very expensive.
I think that has to do with water in California.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe, you know, they just decided to make them more expensive.
And Mary, where do you go to get good mole dishes in Kansas City?
I like Frida's and Poco's and El Patron and my kitchen.
So Frida's, that's located?
About 126th and Medcalf.
And what were your other recommendations?
El Patron and Poco's, both of which are on the on Southwest Boulevard.
What are your favorite mole dishes at those restaurants?
Chicken mole.
Chicken mole straight up.
Straight up.
And do you like a chocolatey mole?
I do. Yeah. I do. And you can wrap them in tortillas, and there's always tons of sauce.
Oh, can I throw this out?
Yeah.
Is coconut considered a nut?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Or is it a fruit?
I think it's a fruit.
Got
this
check
list.
Check your thing.
I know. It's not on there.
Well, maybe one of our listeners knows whether coconut is a nut, or maybe Natasha knows. Natasha, we don't know. So, Jen Chen, what comes to mind for you when you're thinking about the use of nuts in dishes on Kansas City menus?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind actually were the Andre's chocolate-covered almonds, which are just divine. And I don't know what they do to the nut. I think they roast them and caramelize them, and they're nice and crispy and just lovely and chocolatey. Another dish that came to mind was the Royal Almond Chicken at Malay Cafe, which is up north. It is just this wonderful almond-encrusted chicken that's served in a sweet sauce, a slightly sweet sauce, and it's just fabulous.
It's a great dish. Mm. Oh, my gosh.
And so we've actually heard of a few different Asian cuisines that incorporate nuts. We've talked about pad thai a little bit before the break. And then we talked about cashew chicken from Charles. And then Jen was mentioning the almond encrusted chicken at Malay Cafe. What else?
In Indian food. Penang curry is all about the peanuts.
Yeah.
I just read that coconut is a droop, not a nut. I am not sure what a droop is. This is according to the all-knowing internet, just for whatever that's worth.
Well, and in that same category are almonds, pecans, and walnuts.
They're all droops?
They're all edible seeds of droop fruits.
Interesting. So you brought up walnuts. Mary, do you have a favorite use of walnuts in cuisine?
Probably in salads. They go well with lots of different cheeses or cranberries.
Well, let's not forget baklava.
Ooh.
Baklava
is
a great walnut vendor.
And a lot of breads, raisin walnut bread, the orchard bread at Frevere.
Talk about that bread.
It has apricots, walnuts, a few other items, but it's really good if you cut it thick and slice it.
And that's at Frevere Bakery?
Yes. And they also have a box bread and a other grain bread that are chock full of seeds and nuts.
Interesting. And so anyone else have a use of nuts that we haven't discussed yet that they want to add to the mix before we get into too many specific recommendations?
I don't think you could have enough nuts in anything. I do like the restaurant downtown Food, F-U-D, Food.
With an umlaut.
With an umlaut. And I like the fact that they have cheese made from nuts. I think it's cashew cheese. And, you know, I mean, it tastes more like Velveeta than cheese, I think, sometimes. But, you know, it's for people who cannot have nuts, it's a really nice – I mean, who cannot have cheese, I should say. It's a nice alternative.
So at Food, if you're going there, a lot of the items there have this cashew cheese. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular entree or item that has especially intrigued you?
Well, they have a lot of nice Mexican dishes, and which really call for cheese. And if you are on a vegan diet, I don't think you can have cheese. And, you know, it's a nice way to kind of cheat.
To cheat on the vegan expectation.
Right, right.
Natasha, how do you make cheese out of cashews?
You soak the cashews, and you add... Well, to be honest, most often you just add like dried spices. So you do dried onion, salt, lemon juice. Some people use nutritional yeast and some people use goji berries to flavor it and color it. But the nutritional yeast is what, well, it's got tons of B12s, but it also adds the cheesy flavor.
We mentioned the use of nuts in salad. Mary was particularly saying that walnuts in a salad were one of her favorite uses of walnuts. So, Mary, are there other uses of nuts in salads around town that you want to draw our attention to?
Well, you know, pecans and goat cheese is always a good combination that people use. Almonds also. And don't forget vegetables like the Brussels sprouts, roasted Brussels sprouts with almonds at Pizza Bella is one of the favorites in town, I think, for a lot of people.
Where is Pizza Bella?
It's at 18th and Baltimore.
So that what makes that Brussels sprout dish something that people love so much?
Because it doesn't taste like Brussels sprouts.
It's roasted in a really high temperature oven, so the Brussels sprouts get crisp and caramelized.
Let's hear from a caller at 816-235-2888. You can chime in on this conversation about nuts in dishes on menus all over Kansas City. Let's talk to David in Lenexa. Hi, David.
Hi, good morning.
How's it going?
It is going well, but I had a comment and then a question. First about coconuts. You can't consider it technically a fruit because a fruit is something that contains the seed within it, and the coconut itself is the seed.
It's a big seed.
Yep. Much like a nut. But my question was if anybody there had any suggestions on what to do with hickory nuts. As it's a native tree, they're all over here in town, and I've got just tons of them in my yard. So,
okay, so David's got hickory nuts and wants to know what to do with them. Does anyone have a suggestion, or has anyone seen this on a menu?
I don't think I've ever seen anything with the hickory nuts. I mean,
no, I've never.
Are they... Mm-hmm. Since I don't eat this dish, I'll throw this out. Are they in fruit cakes? No, I think that's walnuts.
Yeah, but any nuts you could roast and serve as a snack with a glass of wine or a beer.
Yes. That's a good default. Well, does that help you out, David?
Yeah, that'll give me something to do.
Well, and if you add some spices or herbs to it, you can spice it up.
Well, I'd love to hear how that goes for David, so maybe he'll follow up with us at some point. You know, a use of nuts that we were addressing a little bit was encrusting fish with nuts. So are there other places in town where you get things encrusted with nuts that you like?
There's a trout that's almond crusted at a fair, and they also do an herb nut crust on an elk loin that they do.
And that's at a fair downtown?
Yes, 19th and Main.
Tell us more about those dishes, Mary.
You know, they're pretty simple, but it's just a way to keep the moisture in the fish is to have them encrusted in something. A lot of other restaurants do panko crumbs or breadcrumbs, but the nuts add another layer of flavor.
And texture.
Mm-hmm.
That elk and nut combo is interesting. Are there other meat-nut combos around town?
Well, this isn't really a nut-heavy dish, but at Bowling's for dim sum, they serve the sticky rice that's wrapped in a lotus leaf and steamed. And so it's sticky rice and some meat and some peanuts. And the peanuts aren't, you know, they're not crispy, but they add a nice little accent, kind of a nice little texture to the sticky rice and the meat.
Interesting. What about chestnuts? We talked about those earlier in the show. We were visiting the chestnut farm outside of Lawrence, and they are popular in French desserts, but a little bit unconventional here. Is there any place to get something interesting with chestnuts around town?
Someone's going to have to call in to verify, but doesn't Café Provence do something with chestnuts over the holidays?
They do a bread pudding.
Yeah.
That's the only menu I could find,
yeah.
The chestnut bread pudding that they do with their duck.
Chestnuts and duck?
Chestnut bread pudding with the duck.
So it'd be a savory bread pudding, right, as opposed to a sweet one. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Kind of like chestnut stuffing. I wonder if anyone in town does that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And nuts can be a very holiday, they can be holiday foods. You hear chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Anyone have a favorite holiday dish? Jen, for example?
Well, I haven't tried this yet, and it's not really holiday in that it's more of a fall thing, but I heard that at One More Cup, they're serving this caramel apple float, which is vanilla ice cream, caramel sauce, Lewisburg sparkling apple cider, and they have toasted cinnamon dusted pecans in it too. So
yum.
I think that sounds fantastic.
It does.
A nutty drink. Charles, do you have any additional nut specialties you want to draw our attention to?
Of course, when I think of nuts, I think of desserts. And I like anything with caramel and nuts together. It's a great combination. Natasha, you've made things with caramels and nuts.
Yes.
You know what I want right now, actually?
What?
A nut. It could be peanuts, actually. But a caramel apple rolled in nuts. I guess that means it's time for me to go to the Lewisburg Apple Festival.
Halloween is around the corner.
Yeah.
And where else would you find a nut dessert on a menu that you would recommend, Charles?
Oh, gosh. Why am I having it? Well, I like any kind of coffee cake that has nuts in it. And I like any kind. I'm one of those people that, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like nuts, brownies with nuts in them. I prefer the nuts. I think the brownies they're too much like a cake if they don't have nuts. Nuts gives them that little something extra.
And Jude's rum cakes, you can't, they are on some menus. Greg Adcock sells them all around the country, and they're with pecans and rum, a little coffee cake or a dessert cake.
So are there particular menus in Kansas City that have these items you guys have been naming?
I know. I know it's been on the menu at Farmhouse, but I don't know if they still are.
Well, and you know, what is more fabulous to give as a gift than a Stuckey's pecan roll?
A pecan roll?
I could think of a few things.
Describe the Stuckey's pecan roll, Charles. You've brought it up.
I know it. I think there is still a Stuckey's on the way to Columbia from here. But it is some kind of nougat rolled in, I believe it's crushed up walnuts. Although it's Stuckey's, it could be peanuts. But I think it's pecans, actually. And because it is called a pecan roll. And it's a kind of a dessert that you could either eat, you know, as or you can cut up and serve it as a canapé.
With a toothpick.
And we were talking about, where in town do you guys recommend for pad thai? That's a dish where nuts are a small ingredient, but add a very distinctive flavor without which you would not have pad thai.
Depending on whether you're where you're going for pad thai, I've seen them absolutely covered with peanuts. I like the Thai place.
Mm-hmm.
And one night a week, I think it's Tuesday, that you could get two pad thai dinners for the price of one.
Yes. Pad thai Tuesday.
Yeah.
Love it.
Thai Orchid is pretty good, too, on Martway and Mission.
Sure is, yeah.
And those restaurants also have peanut sauce for their spring rolls.
Some people like a peanut sauce that's very almost peanut buttery, and some like more of a liquid sauce with pieces of peanut floating atop. Where do you go to get which kind?
Well, I think the sauce you're talking about isn't – I mean, I have seen sauces with peanuts floating on top that are actually really fish sauces.
Yeah.
The peanut sauce is more of a peanutty sort of sauce, mm-hmm. peanut buttery sort of sauce.
Diluted peanut butter.
With spices, yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I don't like it too sweet. I like it to be a little spicy.
Let's talk to Mary in the Northland. She called us at 816-235-2888. Hi, Mary.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm just excited about nuts.
We are excited about nuts, too.
I think I'm nutty. I would like to suggest, since people called in and said that they had hickory nuts and that they were nuts all over town, probably I know a friend who has black walnut trees. And she doesn't know what to do with them, and she has all these lumps over her yard. And I would suggest that people would either put them out on FreeCycle for people to come and pick free, or put them on Craigslist if they want a little bit of money for them, or if they would like to. My little sister in Oklahoma has a few pecan trees on her land, and she just puts an ad on the radio about come and picking them for the on the share, which means that you you come and pick them and you get them free if you give half to the owner.
Yeah, so what can you do, though, with black walnuts? They kind of have a strong smell. Do they have a strong taste as well?
Oh, they're so good for you. Do you know that black walnuts are the only nut, the only inland source of iodine, where most people have to get their iodine from fish or iodinized salt? But you can actually get iodine out of black walnuts. It's the problem with black walnuts. I just think they're totally delicious. I love black walnut.
That's
ice
a problem.
Cream. But whacking them, they are so hard. They're very, very hard to get a nut out of. So,
isn't black walnut? Black walnut's also a famous ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. That's what I'm saying. That's my most favorite ice cream in the world is black walnut ice cream. Yeah. Lately, though, I have been reading all about the wonderful benefits of hemp seeds, which we can't grow in America because it's stupidly illegal. But you can get them from health food stores, and they get them out of Canada, and is the most high-quality omega-3, 6, and 9, and plus it's high in protein, some fiber. But I would prefer to eat any nut uncooked because raw is always best, and when you eat any nut, those oils lose some of their nutritional value.
Well, thank you for that, Mary. And I can tell that Mary has strong feelings about many nuts and seeds, it sounds like. But she did mention something that I think a lot of people have strong feelings about, which is ice cream. Ice cream using fresh, real nuts. Where would you go in Kansas City for, say, black walnut ice cream?
Good question.
I looked on the menu before coming at Glacé, and they don't have it now, but they do have peanut butter ice cream.
Anywhere else in town have a nut ice cream?
Baskin-Robbins used to every once in a while as a special have a black walnut ice cream because it's an old-fashioned ice cream.
Well, and they always had Jamoke almond fudge. That was my favorite growing up.
There's a little ice cream shop on Johnson Drive called Dips and Sips, and they usually have a black almond, I think.
Black walnut?
Black walnut, sorry, yes.
Dips and Sips, and where is that located?
On Johnson Drive. I'm not sure of the cross street.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Miami Ice has
black walnut.
Black walnut. They have Silas and Maddie's ice cream. They're on 39th Street.
We conveniently have someone who might be able to help us, Alan in Mission. Hello.
Good morning.
Welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. I'm also a big fan of black walnuts. My daughter makes a terrific holiday cookie every year with them that many people love, but of course some people don't. I'd also like to recommend the black walnut cream pie. It's not always on the menu, but Smith's Restaurant in Bolivar and Collins.
Wait, Bolivar and Collins?
Bolivar and Collins. Smith's Restaurant. Black walnut cream pie is occasionally on their menu. And
what city
is out of this world?
What city is this?
Bolivar, Missouri.
Okay.
And it's called Smith's?
North of Bolivar is Collins, Missouri. They have a location at each town.
Okay. And where can I ask, where is Bolivar, Missouri, in case by some miracle I go there?
You're on the way to Springfield on Highway 13, south from Clinton.
Okay.
So tell us about that black walnut cream pie you like.
Well, it's about as tall as a hobbit, and takes about 20 minutes to finish. It is absolutely fantastic. It's a traditional cream pie. The walnuts and the walnut flavoring are in the custard part, of course. And, man, I tell you, you want a nap when you're done.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. And we're going to take a short break. If you want to join our food critics today on this conversation, call 816-235-2888. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman with the Food Critics, and I'm going to let them reintroduce themselves. We've got Jen Chen. Hello, Jen.
Hello.
And she's with The Pitch and Pitch.com. Charles Frouza, also with The Pitch and Pitch.com. Hi, Charles.
Hello, Gina.
And Mary Block of Around the Block and the Kansas City Star. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Jen.
Natasha Bailey also joins us today. She is a pastry chef at Exwa Restaurant, and she can help your culinary answer your culinary questions. Hi, Natasha.
Hi.
So before we pick back up with this conversation about nuts, I do want to quickly touch on some restaurant news because it's made a big national splash, and we'll just touch on it briefly. But there's a Yelp critic who wrote a review of the restaurant Voltaire, the Voltaire chef, uncharacteristically of restaurant chefs and owners, responded, and this has been big. Charles, can you set up the story for us?
Yes, I'll try to do it. The issue was a woman who was in an office across from the Voltaire restaurant wanted a takeout order, and the Voltaire has a rule that they do not do takeout. And Mary, you could chime in here because you're familiar with the story too. And her way of getting back, I guess, at her disappointment was to, to say that her husband was an attorney, and B, to put an angry, for lack of a better word, rant on Yelp. You know, one of Kansas City's most legendary restaurateurs, Joe Gilbert from the Gilbert Robinson Empire, he had a rule that most restaurants today still practice, which is that the customer is always right. And that's why a lot of restaurateurs do not respond to those kinds of public criticisms. They just let it roll. But Wes Gartner from Voltaire felt the need to explain his position. I thought he did it in a very articulate and lucid way. And I think it says volumes that the angry Yelp rant is no longer on Yelp. But the feedback has been mostly in Wes Gartner's favor for taking this customer to task.
And it's been national feedback.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most restaurateurs can't stand Yelp because the reviews aren't usually objective. Sometimes the people haven't even been in the restaurant and they write a review.
Can I cite a story about a good friend of ours in the show, Beth Barden at the Succotash restaurant, had a very, very nasty Yelp review. And if you read it, you realize that the person writing the review was talking about a different restaurant. She was talking about not getting her drinks from the bar and how her dinner was late. Well, Succotash doesn't serve alcohol, and it doesn't serve dinner. No. But Yelp would not take that review down.
Wow. Well, so this is not just – so it's an isolated incident that's gotten a lot of attention, but that's because it's a subject that is really stirs a lot of emotions for both diners and restaurateurs,
right.
It sounds like.
It
so
does.
The fallout has ended, you're saying, mostly in the chef's favor.
Yeah, I think so, very much so.
All right. Let's get back to nuts.
From one nut to another, I guess, yes.
We've got a call from Amy in Leawood. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
What can you share with us?
I grew up in southern Illinois, and there were lots of hickory nuts, hickory trees in the region. My mom cooked with nuts quite a bit, and hickory nuts were ones she really liked because they had such a nice flavor. And as I recall, just about anything you do with pecans, you can also do with hickory nuts, cookies or cakes or anything. They're just great. I hate to think of throwing them away.
Well, thanks for weighing in. Hickory nuts, so you know what to do with them, and hopefully our previous caller who wanted to know is listening. Any other
good
tips for him before we move on?
I'm trying to remember. You want to be sure they're good quality hickory nuts. I do remember that sometimes we had to be careful. We would gather our own nuts and pick them out. My mom was a real purist. But if they're small and, well, they call them pig nuts and runny looking and kind of beaten up, don't go there. Okay? Don't do it.
That should be a mantra for life.
No, you don't need that. Just go with a nice quality hickory nut, and they're wonderful.
Thanks. Thank you, Amy. So, yeah, look past the runts, and let's talk now to Don in Olathe. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
What can you share?
Talking about black walnut ice cream. Osceola Cheese on the way to Smitty's in Collins has the most fantastic black walnut ice cream.
At a cheese store?
It's made, yeah, Osceola Cheese. They have all kinds of cheese. And if you've ever been, it's on Highway 13 on the way to Springfield or Branson. And it just has all kinds of cheese. And they have the most fantastic black walnut ice cream.
Anyone here been there?
No, but I'm Mary, let's pack up. We're going.
Oh, yes. We have to get on Highway 13.
Yeah.
Road trip.
And let's quickly talk with Ruth Ann in Midtown. Hi, Ruth Ann.
Good morning. Just want to tell you that Price Chopper on 63rd Street in Brookside has a black walnut ice cream that is also delicious and very, very available.
Now, what brand is it sold under, Ruth Ann?
Well, it begins with B. I can't remember the. It's a common. It's just. It's the only ice cream being made right now that has eggs in it. It's real ice cream, not just whipped cream.
Belfonte or Blue Bunny, both of those have.
Belfonte is right.
Thank you, Ruth Ann.
I'll bet that's a good ice cream, too. Yeah.
And let's hear from Marty in Olathe. Hi, Marty.
Hi. I grew up on 58th Street in Kansas City in Johnson County, and we had a big black walnut tree in our backyard, and I loved to climb in it. It became my job to collect all of the black walnuts and then put them in bushel baskets in our garage until we got them all collected. One day I left the we left the garage door wide open, and the squirrels came in, stole them all, and buried them all over the neighborhood. And in the next few years, the whole neighborhood became populated with black walnut trees. And so we used to take, they are hard to crack open, but what we used to do is put them in the driveway and drive the car back and forth.
That's a pretty big nutcracker.
Yeah. And then we would collect them all and pick them all out, and it would make our hands all black from the stain. And
that's
then we
funny.
Made these wonderful refrigerator cookies with black walnuts and molasses. And I remember loving those cookies, and I haven't had them for a long time. But those are lots of good memories around black walnuts.
Thank you, Marty. And that speaks volumes that it requires a car to crack them. We had an earlier caller who said they're tough to crack. That sort of verifies that one.
I can tell you from experience, a hammer will do it, too. It just takes a lot longer. I'd like to find out, if someone's listening, if there is a bakery in Kansas City that does an old fashioned black walnut cookie, like she was talking about with molasses. I'd like to get some of those.
That does sound good. And she mentioned squirrels. Speaking of squirrels, Tim in Raytown, what is your question?
Yes, I was wondering, acorns. I heard one of the ladies mention, as long as you roast the nuts, you could eat it. I just wonder if an acorn's the same.
Natasha, do you know that if we can eat acorns if roasted?
I do not know. I haven't tried either. So maybe I'll do that tonight. I'll try to roast an acorn.
And see what happens?
See what happens.
I'll bring you a whole bunch. I've got an oak tree in my front yard.
It's a deal. Yeah.
Let's turn to Joni in Mission. Hi, Joni.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Great. How about you?
I'm enjoying the show, but I think you've missed one nut.
Uh-oh.
I didn't hear it. Pistachio.
Oh, the classic.
Yes. I mean, I could sit and just eat them by the bowlful. And in the Mideast, along with dates, they do serve pistachios. They put out a bowl of dates and a bowl of pistachios for you to nosh on. But it makes marvelous ice cream, too. Pistachio ice cream, you can get it as a part of a Neapolitan or just the pistachio alone, and pistachio gelato, which I just adore. So Anyhow, I just wanted to put my 2 cents in for pistachio, and I've also had pistachio-crusted trout, just like you were talking before of the almond crust.
That sounds so good.
I've had it crusted with pistachio.
Food critics.
It's marvelous.
Well, we also left out macadamia nuts.
Yes.
And they also make a nice crust for a fish, like a tropical fish. I was trying to remember when she was talking where the last time I had a pistachio-encrusted fish was, and I want to say it was possibly the Bristol, maybe.
Before we wrap up this conversation, I would be remiss in not pointing out that the Royals are headed to the championships and Peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Anything to say about our particular stadium's fare in that regard? Jen, perhaps?
For me, it's all about the little sundae in a hat. Do they have nuts on it? I don't think they do, but I could be wrong.
And does anyone here have a favorite peanut? What do you think about Peanuts and Cracker Jacks from a culinary standpoint?
Listen, I don't know if I like that combination. I'm not a big cracker. But I just think that whoever invented the Payday candy bar deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. That's all I'm going to say.
You know, NPR did a study or a segment on Cracker Jacks, and evidently it's Cracker Jack. It is singular.
Peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Yeah.
We've got a call from Ralph in Lawrence. Hi, Ralph.
Hi. It's actually Rolf with the note.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for having me. I just wanted to mention the black walnut ice cream at Iwig's Dairy in Lawrence is really nice.
Oh, I've had that. It's great.
Yeah. They've got some really nice flavor selections.
Are there other nut-flavored ice creams on the menu, or you're just really passionate about the black walnut?
You know, it's kind of a treat for me, so I haven't explored them all. That one definitely stands out. I did want to mention I used to work at Chestnut Charlie's, and the bisque that they mentioned is really amazing. It's like a butternut squash, chestnut bisque, and then they do the immersion blender.
Yum. That sounds so good. Thank you so much, Rolf. And food critics, this has been a lot of fun. We're out of time, but Charles Ferruza, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you. Sorry.
And Mary Block, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jen Chen, it's been great having you.
Thank you.
And thanks to our chef, Natasha Bailey.
Thank you.
Before we go, the Royals head to the championships tonight. It's a perfect time to be a sports fan in Kansas City. Sasha Victorine was playing soccer for the LA Galaxy when he got traded to the team still known as the Kansas City Wizards 9 years ago. He's since retired from soccer, but decided to stay here and work for Sporting Innovations, a local technology firm that's enhancing sports, not for the athletes, but for the fans. As part of our series, Going to Kansas City, Sasha Victorine talks about adjusting from life in SoCal to life in KC.
You come to a new neighborhood here, and you meet new people or whatever it is, and they say, hey, you know, let's get together, I'd love to catch up. And in California, that really means, hey, it was great to meet you. We'll never see you again, right? It's you live on the other side of the city, so we just might as well say today that there's no way I'm ever going to go over there and see you again, right? But here, people are genuine, and they mean it. And they're like, hey, you know, let's get together. And it's like the next day, you've got a knock on your door, you've got a phone call. You're like, whoa, what's going on? So it's part of what makes the city great is that there is a good community here, and there's a lot of people who really care about their neighbors and everybody else who's trying to enjoy the area. Easy road and run. Ain't no need to hurry at all. You don't have to wake up first thing in the morning and wonder, okay, let's look at how much traffic you're going to find to try to go to the grandparents' house today. You know, is it worth it to wait till 10 o'clock, or should we start at, you know, 5:45 and try to get out of the house? It's one of those things that you don't have to worry about those extra stress levels. You can get in your car or plan something, and the only thing you have to really worry about here is maybe the weather. It just saves a lot of time. I mean, every day you get that back and time spent with the kids doing more stuff. The way of living and the way in which you can live here in Kansas City, it's a much easier life. I mean, from the price of trying to buy a home and start a family and all that kind of stuff, you know, if you look in other places, it's a really complicated thing. You know, you come out of school maybe with debt already. You're looking at a mortgage of $500,000 plus if you're going to live anywhere in California. It's one of those things that here it's a very easy way to get started, and it's a way to kind of, you know, get yourself going and start to build a career in the future. And I think if you put all those things together around, you know, how easy it is to kind of get yourself in the right place, I think if you put all those things together, it's a real, and I've said this before, it's a real creative area. And I think if we continue to nurture that creativity around, you know, not just, you know, startups and companies, but creative, the culture on nightlife and food and all the whole industry, it's going to show how unique this city really is.
That's it for this week for Central Standard. To listen back to any of the shows you've heard here on Central Standard, just go to kcur.org/centralstandard. That's also where you'll find a full list of what we discussed earlier in the show. That'll be up by later in the day. Monday, we'll learn about the people living here in Kansas City with deep connections to catastrophic news hotspots all over the world. What's it like to learn what's going on back home through the headlines? More on that Monday at 10. Central Standard is produced by Sylvia Maria Gross and Matthew Long Middleton, with lots of help from Patrick Quick, Matt Hodep, and Christina Leffring. Linda Scher, Michael Byers, and Suzanne Hogan ran the board for us this week. The Central Standard theme music is produced by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Thanks for listening.